This is Focus on EMU on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion, and this week I got an interesting email that sparked the imagination a little bit about a topic that I think we need to talk more about, but also something that's happening here on campus that really felt you should be aware of. So once again, we are featuring great things happening in and around our campus community, the work of so many dedicated people here on Eastern's campus that are just trying to make lives better for students, lives better for our staff, faculty, just people in our community in general. We touch a lot of lives throughout the region here. And this is no different than some of the great things we've talked about in the past. So we have a mixture of people here today. We have professionals, we have students that are acting so much like professionals that you can't tell the difference, and everything in between. But we're talking today about eating disorders. And we're talking about services being offered on Eastern's campus to those that might be suffering through that, and why it's important to recognize it, why it's important to treat it, and why it's important to the people in this room that Eastern is working towards helping our community get through these issues together. So we're going to talk about all those things, but I wanted to introduce you first to the people in the room. Darlene, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Darlene Bellers. I'm the manager of Eagle Nutrition Services, which is our nutrition services clinic here on campus. And I'm a registered dietitian. I'm a board certified specialist in obesity and weight management. And I appreciate this campus. I'm also an alumni too. So
yeah, we talked about that. Your little radio experience back in the day.
Yeah, so back in the day.
We're going to hold you to a high standard here throughout the interview. But thank you for being here. Thank you for doing what you do. Karen, we're going to jump to you next. We'll save the students for last here, but introduce yourself, please.
Okay, I'm Karen Sauls of the psychology department. I'm a professor in the psychology department, and I am the director of the psychology training clinic, which is tasked with training our doctoral students. And the students who are here today are two students in our doctoral training program.
Great. So fellow doctoral students here at Eastern, I'm proud to be one myself. Obviously, college technology, very different than the pursuits that you're going through there. But welcome and thank you for being here. Kirsty, introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Kirsty. I'm a second year doc student in the clinical psychology program. So I'm pursuing a PhD in clinical psychology, and my area of focus is primarily eating disorders, also things like weight loss, obesity, and body image, some of the other concerns that are related to that.
So part of it, we'll talk about this, but part of the doctoral program, the work that you're doing is obviously part of that, but you're actually doing some clinical work as a part of becoming a real adult, you know, a real therapist, are you becoming a psychologist?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got my terms right.
Yep. When I graduate, I will be considered a clinical psychologist.
Okay.
I think I am much more research focused, so I do a lot of research on eating disorders, but also am training as a clinician to be able to treat these as well.
The two work really well together. Can't have one effectively without the other, so good. Megan, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Megan, and I'm a fourth year in the clinical psychology doctoral program here. And similarly to Kirsty, my research focus is within weight management and eating disorders. I'm also focused in bariatric surgery and focusing more like within exercise.
Okay, great. So who wants to talk about this new service and what's being offered here? Darlene, do you want to kick us off here? That'd be great.
Yeah, sure. So I'm new to the role of manager at Eagle Nutrition Services, and since I do have a weight management background, one of the things that had come up at some point in time is, do we want to start some sort of weight management group here on campus? And so through that idea, I was introduced to both Kirsty and Megan and Dr. Sauls, and through the talks, it just became obvious that we really need to address the reasons why people eat. You can't have a solid foundation of a weight management program without having some sort of background information about why people are not only eating, and that all of that came out of, weight management is about addressing those disordered eating patterns. And so we think of eating disorders as a really diagnosable, definitive condition with criteria that we have to meet, but we also acknowledge the people who also engage in disordered eating, who have a lot of those symptoms that maybe an eating disorder would, but maybe not meet every criteria to be diagnosed as an eating disorder.
Right. So it's not just about people wanting to lose weight, looking to get at the mental aspect of the process.
Exactly.
It's also treating people who are suffering through some sort of issue that may have led to a disorder that they really are seeking help with.
Exactly. In our nutrition clinic, I see that every single day where I get clients who come in for nutrition counseling. They want to talk about their diet, but then these issues creep up. And so that is really where I turned to these two and said, you know, we have to be able to address this to have effective nutrition counseling and coaching, and to make changes with the diet also needs to be, you know, addressed with the mental side too. And so they were great in jumping in and kind of helping out.
And so who are these services open to?
Everybody.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyone that's maybe thinking about this or knows somebody that may need some assistance, you guys are a great resource.
Yeah.
Reach out. Okay. So let's talk first to Dr. Souls. I want to know, why was this important to you to get in front of students? What I know this is hands-on work for them. This is in their area of interest. But, you know, what after talking to Darlene, what struck you as, wow, this is really something we got to get these students involved in?
Well, a little of the history on this is that we were initially seeing clients for acceptance-based weight loss treatment and realizing that they lacked knowledge about some nutritional information.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we reached out to Darlene and began the collaboration that way. But the other thing about psychology these days is that we're moving more and more in the direction of integrated care and co-locating services so that it makes it easier for people. So we and my students who longstanding have had interests in eating disorders, those aren't the people we see at my clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Darlene, however,
see often.
So the students were very interested in expanding their clinical training, and offering the services over at ENS made perfect sense.
Well, this is great, an example of getting outside of siloed thinking, where you're in your lane and you're in your lane, but you see people that could benefit from your services, and you see people that could benefit from your services, and then you get together. This is the kind. This happens at Eastern all the. I mean, it happens everywhere, but at Eastern, this is so great having so many disciplines all over campus with experts. I mean, some of them world-renowned sitting right at hand. You can't, you know, throw a stone on campus without hitting somebody, unfortunately. That's an expert in something, you know, is a bad metaphor. But, you know, you get what I'm saying there. It's great. And thank you so much for coming together on this. I love the cohesion there. So now students are involved. And, you know, I keep saying students, and it's like you sound like you're in fifth grade. But you're not. You're doctoral students. So this is a much more serious
actually, I
level.
Should just chime in that if it wasn't for the students, we wouldn't be doing this. Because they're the ones who made the initial contact.
All right. Great.
So they're very resourceful.
Well, good. And even better that you're listening to students and accepting ideas through that mechanism. So students with the ideas, Kirstie and Megan. Kirstie, why don't we start with you first? Why is this important to you? And, you know, why is the multidisciplinary approach important to you?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really important that we haven't touched on yet is the fact that there unfortunately is still a stigma attached to seeking treatment for, you know, your mental health.
Right.
So being located in a psychology clinic, I think sometimes that may make people hesitant to actually reach out and seek services. Whereas being located somewhere like a nutrition services office, there may be a little less stigma attached to going to treatment there. So that was one thing that really drew me to wanting to work here, also wanting to gain some of that experience in an integrated setting, knowing that I really, really appreciate kind of a multidisciplinary approach to this.
Do you see issues, too, with how these sorts of disorders are portrayed in media, like in movies and TV? You know, I think we see a lot, we hear a lot about anorexia, bulimia, but it's almost always associated with some really horrific portrayal of it. It's not a true look at the cause or the symptoms. Do you see a need to educate people on these things, that it's different than what's portrayed out there in the world?
Of course, there's a really large need for that. And I think with nearly all of the clients or patients that we would see, the first thing we do is what we would call psychoeducation. So essentially just informing them and telling them a little bit more about what these are, why these appear, how prevalent they are, and kind of dispelling some of those
myths. Yeah.
Myths that
or just bad representation, certainly. Mm-hmm. So Megan, you know, why is this important to you? Why did you want to get involved in this project? Why did you bring this idea to the powers that be?
So one of the things that really drew me to this type of approach was the need to address overweight or obesity treatment in a unique or different way. So I think that's one of the gaps in our community that we haven't really addressed.
How has that evolved? I know that science expands and advances, but, you know, versus 20 years ago versus today, you know, how are people looking at things like obesity and really trying to tackle it in more effective ways?
It's a really multifaceted issue, but one of the things that we're doing from a psychology perspective is doing a talk therapy approach. So one of the things that we've started and we're also using at ENS is something called an acceptance-based commitment therapy approach.
Okay. And how does that change? Does it change, obviously, the effectiveness of the outcomes? Or, you know, what are you seeing that, you know, this multidisciplinary approach, how is it changing people's lives?
Sure. So I think that there are many research studies that are showing different ways to treat this type of condition. But I think with some of the talk therapies in particular, that there is strong evidence to suggest that, for example, like ACT, this leads to more effective behavior change.
And have you seen, I know that obviously you're a little younger because you're students here in the doctoral program, but anyone, have you seen this fundamental shift from, you know, it's just about calories in, calories out, to, you know, let's treat the whole person, mind and body, as a more effective mechanism? Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to me that is a pretty dramatic change over the past few decades.
Across the board in any of the weight management research that you would look at, there's always the component of it's not about just eat what you eat. Diet is a big portion of it. Exercise has a portion in there too, but it's the mental state of the being. The more kind of supported that mental state is, the better weight loss they achieve and they succeed and they maintain that weight loss over time. If the mental state is rocky or there's challenges within that, they're more likely to regain. So, you know, as far as obesity, this is how this is all connected. And we see that.
Well, I think we've learned a lot over the years about gut-brain communication, mm-hmm. and we used to think those were separate things, and now we know they're inextricably related, mm-hmm. and one influences the other.
Yeah, so and at the end, you're trying to change a pattern of behavior, mm-hmm. you know, related to eating, no matter what you're treating there, and it has to be acknowledged as a behavior and a pattern, mm-hmm. you know, and if you don't treat that, I think I've always heard, you know, you lose weight in the kitchen, you get in shape in the gym, but there's another component, and that's a vast oversimplification, but there's another component to it that it becomes effective in lifelong or longer term, mm-hmm. if you add in the treating, you know, the mind of the person as well. Tell me a little bit about the program itself. How do we find you? How do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, people who are interested in the psychological services at ENS can just go ahead and call our clinic. So we are located at 160 Rackham in the Rackham building. Our phone number is 734-487-6572. We have a website. You can go online and get more information and instructions on how to sign up there too.
So and if you didn't write that down, we'll make sure we link all of that in the post that you're getting this audio from right now, or on the social media post, so you can find it and you can find them. But that was good information.
But we do also ask people first to call and do an initial phone screening with us at the clinic, so we can match you up with the person whose schedule and expertise actually would be the best fit.
So out of curiosity, I mean, just if you're listening and wondering, what kind of, just give me a 30,000 foot view, but like insurance and things like that, is this open to anybody kind of a thing?
It's open to anybody. It's $10 a session.
Okay.
We don't do insurance.
Good. And that's important. I mean, because we don't want this to be prohibitive to those that might have some financial issues or something like that, too.
Right.
You know, just because you don't have the money for it shouldn't keep you from the people that can help you.
Right.
Kirstie, Megan, I want kind of give me some final thoughts here. What are you really hoping to get out of this experience as a doctoral student? Is this going to play into your research? Is this going to play into what you want to pursue for life here? Or, you know, are you just looking to help people?
Well, I think we haven't had as much of an opportunity as doctoral students to work with this population, just because this service hasn't been offered in our community. So I think that's one of the things that we're hoping in our training, to really have an opportunity to work with individuals who are struggling with any eating-related concern and be able to provide assistance in that area, given our skill set.
I think in addition to that, knowing that both of us want to move into careers that in some way or another will still relate to this. So being able to get that training and also being able to offer a service that is really needed here in the community.
Thank you so much for being here today. Darlene, Karen, thank you so much for getting the heads together to take this idea from the students and make it a reality. Again, we'll make sure you have all the contact info you need if this is something that you'd like to learn more about or explore for yourself. Kirstie, Kirsty. Megan, thank you so much for being here today. Best of luck with your dissertation defenses and whatnot, if you're
not
to that point yet, but to getting there. You know, I'm feeling that stress already myself, so good luck there with the research. And thank you so much for being willing to reach a hand out and help people in our community.
Thank you, Patrick, for allowing this to be an point of awareness. You know, the research shows that when college students are aware of the services on campus, they're that much more likely to seek out those services.
Good.
So thank you from all of us.
Yeah, you know, and this is one of those things that if you don't know it's there, you can't use it.
Exactly.
So, you know, right in there, right in line with you there, there are so many hidden gems on Eastern's campus that most people have no idea exist. Mm-hmm. I try and take advantage of them all the time, but I'm happy to share the word and let people know about it. So thank you for helping me in that endeavor. This has been Focus NEMU on 89.1 WEMU.